Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Turn to Gospel of John, chapter 14. Gospel of John, chapter 14. Just want to read a little bit here, a few verses, and then get to the message God has laid in my heart for this morning. Jesus is instructing his disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him," listen to this if you're not sure of heaven. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." His exact words. "If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." Now, in this passage of Scripture, I just want to make one comment, and I'm going to read the rest of the verses, and then we're going to pray one more time. We find the Trinity, the Godhead. Philip saith unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." That'll be enough. And Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou, then show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? And the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works." In other words, Jesus is saying, I am God. I am deity. That's the Trinity. God the Son, speaking of God the Father, and then he's going to tell us of God the Spirit. "Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." They're all working together. "If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the Father cannot receive, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." Chapter 16, verse 7, just one verse. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, is that it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." Father in heaven, we come to you this very morning. And Jesus, we ask that you would work in our midst. And we understand that when we ask you to work, we're asking you to use your precious Holy Spirit, that third person of the Trinity. And Lord, may the word of God ring true in our hearts this morning, because the Holy Spirit enlightens us. And Lord Jesus, we pray that you would take the Word of God, the written Word of God, God-breathed Word of God, and you would speak to all of our hearts. God, if there's someone here that isn't born again, save them this morning. May they find salvation in Jesus Christ, your Son. Lord God, if there's someone here that is struggling, maybe a work of the flesh, maybe a sin that they are harboring, we pray the Holy Spirit today would convict of sin like you promised he would. And Lord, they would not escape the conviction of the Holy Spirit, but instead repent and come clean for you. God, we are a nation that is in great need. We are a people that is in great need. The Church of Jesus Christ has profaned you, and yet the church is the hope of America. Lord God, would you help us this morning fix our hearts and our desires on Jesus Christ. And Lord, may you exalt him today by way of the Holy Spirit. And we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. I pray you're like I am and desire a moving of the Holy Spirit of God at Fundamental Baptist Church and all over the Eastern Upper Peninsula. We worship an incredible God. We really do. And a Holy Spirit-filled life is an incredible life, if I could use that word two times in a row. Understand, there's Jehovah God, Jehovah the Father. He's our Father. There's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And then there's the Holy Spirit of God. God has not left us alone. And John in chapter 15, that was last Sunday morning's message. I preached on abiding in Christ. That word abide, remain, and continue was found 15 times in that text. And we learned several things about abiding in Christ. He is the vine, we're the branches. Number one, we learn he owns us. Number two, we learn without him, we do nothing. We can do nothing apart from Jesus. So we certainly need the Holy Spirit that exalts Jesus. I belong to him, and the grass is not greener on the other side. So he says, abide, stay with me. And that passage in John in chapter 15, it's about fellowship. It's not about sonship. It's not about salvation. It's about fellowship. So if you're born again, you heard last Sunday morning's message, and you know you need to stay with Jesus. You need to have the engrafted word of God in your own life. That is the secret, but you stay connected to the vine because he cares. And then the last point I made last Sunday morning, verse 26 of chapter 15. Look at it. Help is on the way. In the context, they finished the Lord's Supper. He told them not to be afraid. On the way to Gethsemane, at Gethsemane, he sees a vine. He says, fellas, I'm the vine. You're the branches. You can do nothing without the vine. The husbandman is God the Father. He's saying, abide in me. Stick with me. Don't turn tail and run when the fire gets hot. Don't turn tail and run in the heat of the battle. Don't be a coward. You just abide in me and I will meet and take care of your every need. And then he says in verse 26, help is on the way. I'm going to go, but help is on the way. Verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. I was thinking about this before I get into John and the latter part of chapter 14. We live in Sodom and Gomorrah. We do. And the hope of America is the church. And so much of the church has profaned the holiness of God. So much. And it's got to be heart-wrenching to God our Father. It certainly grieves God the Holy Spirit. I say that to say this. We have an opportunity. God is looking for churches who just surrender, who know what it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And God has given us the opportunity. We can be that kind of church. We can be those kind of believers that are filled with the Spirit of God in spite of the sin that's around us. You know, preachers used to stand up and say, America's got to be careful. You know, God's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah if America continues on in the path that it's on. We are Sodom and Gomorrah. We are. Did you see the new NFL commercial? Football is gay. Did you know that? That's what it says. Football is lesbian. Football is transgender. It goes on, and then the NFL logo comes on. I'm not going to watch another NFL football game. I don't care. I'm not saying I won't see a highlight from time to time, but I'm not going to watch a game. I'm not going to do it anymore. The two national anthems are going to play. Forget it, man. I'll hang on to college, right? High school, where there's still a little pageantry. I love the game. Not that part. Not the NFL, though. Okay, I said that. Now we're going to probably be off Facebook, but that's probably all right. Let me tell you a little bit about the Holy Spirit. He is deity. Amen. He is God. He's the third person of the Trinity. He's not a force. He's the third person of the Trinity. He was there in eternity past. He was there at creation. Read Genesis chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2. He was there at the birth of Christ. He was there on the cross. He was there at the resurrection. He was certainly there at the birthday of the church on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came down from above. He breathed a book that was given to the New Testament Christian. It's called the Holy Word of God. That's what the word inspired means. God breathed. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. He breathed it. That was God, the Holy Spirit. He is the absolute God. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient, he's omnipotent, and he is immutable. He is that third person of the Godhead that is spoken of in the book of Colossians, also here in John chapter 14. Open your Bibles, turn back to it if you've already left it. John and chapter 14. There's a few things I want to share with you here this morning. I believe the Holy Spirit is the most misunderstood person of the Godhead. I believe he's the best kept secret of the Godhead. And unfortunately, he's the one that exalts God the Son. And so therefore, people don't know God the Son. I will say it this way. The Holy Spirit, that's what makes me tick. That's who I'm about, because I'm about Jesus. Man, I was born into the family of God by way of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't the fiery cross in the sky. It wasn't some foolish manifestation. It was just a sinner man, a sinner boy, getting on his knees and asking Jesus for forgiveness of sins. And God the Son came into my heart. You know how? By God the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. And I'm indwelt by God the Holy Spirit. And I'm sealed by God the Holy Spirit. Let's just talk about that indwelling of the Holy Spirit first of all. Chapter 14 and verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be, because the day of Pentecost was yet to come, and shall be in you. We are indwelt. When you get born again, you are indwelt by God, the Holy Spirit. Don't listen to that humanism, that false doctrine that says there's a spark of divinity in every person. That is false doctrine. The Bible does not teach that. Humanism teaches that. I tell you what, but God, the Holy Spirit, when I got born again, I was a zombie, a spiritual zombie. I got born again. I was way back in fifth grade, but I got born again and the Holy Spirit came into my life. And then the Holy Spirit indwells me. Now there's divinity in my heart, but it's because of Jesus. God, the Holy Spirit, had nothing to do with Tim Rader. He indwells us. It tells us that in 1 Corinthians and chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, John 14 and verse 17, he said, and he will indwell you. He will be in you. And that day of Pentecost, of course, it did come. The moment I became spiritually alive, the moment I was born again and adopted into the family of God, I became spiritually alive. If you're here and you're kind of wondering, what's the preacher talking about? I don't know if there was ever a time in my life when I was born into the family of God. I got good news for you. Let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart right now. He'll use the word of God. The Holy Spirit's telling you right now, hey, what that preacher is quoting from the Bible, that's Bible. That's what God says. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Pretty simple. Jesus said, we already read it, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. God the Holy Spirit woos the sinner to God the Son. God the Son, who was nailed to an old rugged cross and died, shed his blood, and became propitiation for your sin and for my sin. He died for the sins of the whole world. God the Holy Spirit tells the sinner, that's the Son of God. The price that he paid on the cross, that 6 hours he hung on the cross, he did it for all of mankind. Then he went to the grave and he rose again on the third day. There's the gospel message. Jesus paid for your sin, he paid for my sin, and then he conquered the grave and he ascended on up into heaven. The Holy Spirit came down and he says, this is the gospel message. Death, burial, resurrection. Without Jesus, you go to hell. With Jesus, you get born again. And all you got to do, it's your heart. You open your heart to him. I'll help you do that in just a moment if you'll just hang with me in this message. If you're here or you're watching live stream or you're listening to radio broadcasts, you're not born again, you can get saved today. In your God, the Holy Spirit will make you whole today. It's not magical. It's Bible doctrine. Hold on. Don't die in the next 10 minutes. Right? Hold on. I say that truthfully. All right? You don't want to die without Christ. All right? He indwells us. I'm never alone. In the darkest night, the toughest of times, the lowest valley, the loneliest moment, the deepest water, the hottest fire, I'm never alone because I'm born again and God the Holy Spirit indwells me. He indwells me. Turn to Hebrews in chapter 13. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with what things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. We have God the Holy Spirit who indwells us, and we have God the Holy Spirit who encourages us. Go back to John 14 again. Look at verse 16. John 14 and verse 16. Take heart, weary child of God. The Comforter has come. If you're born again, He's at your house. When your family is there at home, He is there with you. You say, I'm going through so much right now, preacher. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He's our encourager. It says in verse 16 of chapter 14, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another, because Jesus was a comforter, another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Forever. You don't lose Him. You can't lose your salvation. He's yours forever. He encourages us. Man, the day I got saved, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we didn't get that far in Sunday school this morning. I think it's long about verse 13. I was, by the Holy Spirit, immersed into the family of God. Man, I was indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 4 and verse 30, I'm sealed by God, the Holy Spirit. You talk about confidence. Chapter 2 and verse 20, Christ in me. How is that possible? The Holy Spirit of God. Listen, my Baptist brethren, do not be afraid of the Holy Spirit. I'm not telling you to worship the Holy Spirit, because I'll tell you why, because He doesn't want it. He's all about God the Son. Read the rest of chapter 14 and chapter 15 and chapter 16, and it's said several times. He's saying He's about God the Son. He doesn't speak of Himself. He speaks of God the Son, because it's the Son that went to the cross. It's the Son that's the head of the church. You understand that? So He indwells us and He encourages us. And it's also good. He filters my prayers, which is wonderful. Because if I'm abiding in Christ, God hears and answers my prayers. Abiding in Christ is a prerequisite to answered prayer. A wonderful promise of answered prayers. But sometimes we pray amiss. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Those wrong prayers don't even get to the throne of God. You see, how do you know that? Go to Romans in chapter 8 and verse 26. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. We have weaknesses. For we know, when He's talking to children of God, great promises to children of God in Romans in chapter 8. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. That describes me a lot. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. God, the Holy Spirit, don't read into that passage something that isn't there. That's not talking about some kind of prayer language. That's saying the Holy Spirit on my behalf filters my prayers to the great interceder, the great advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. Sometimes I ask amiss. God, the Holy Spirit is there to say, Father, He misunderstands. And that's not really what His heart wants. You know, and thank God for the Holy Spirit of God, the Comforter, the Encourager. Anybody here ever pray amiss? Pray for wrong things? God, I need that new Cadillac. If I don't get that Cadillac, somebody's going to die in my family. I just got to have it. I do remember in third grade, my birthday, God, I want that purple Schwinn Stingray with the banana seat and the sissy bar in the back and the butterfly handlebars. I prayed this as a little boy. This is a year and a half before I got saved, so I have an excuse. But God, and I thank God for the Holy Spirit that filters our prayers, because this is what the little boy prayed. And it's really funny that I remember it, but I remember it. God, if You'll give me this one answer to my prayer, I'll never ask for anything ever again. Thank God for God, the Holy Spirit. Wow. Can you see me out there riding around that purple Schwinn Stingray out here, coming to church on that? I ain't got no car. I got a Schwinn bicycle from 1966. Oh, what a bike. 3-speed, by the way, a little clicker on the handlebars. I thought that thing was fast till my kid brother got a regular bicycle, and it was so much faster than that stupid little banana bike, I couldn't believe it. But anyway. You think you know what you know, and sometimes you don't. But we've got God the Holy Spirit. He indwells us and He encourages us. He filters our prayers. I like this. He enlightens us. Look at chapter 14 and verse 26. And let me again pick the pace up. For the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He'll teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. He enlightens us. He teaches us. John chapter 16 and verse 13. Just turn over a page. Howbeit, verse 13. When He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Don't take time to turn there, but if you were to go to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20, you would understand that God, it tells us, he enlightens us. God, the Holy Spirit, takes the word of God. Turn there. Turn over there. I want you to see it. This is pretty big. 1 John chapter 4. Because I want to read it. There's more in the verse than what I'm going to read. 1 John chapter 4. Make it chapter 2 in verse 20. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Go to verse 27. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you all of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. The Holy Spirit enlightens us. He teaches us. Here's the flat truth. And I'm telling you, this is a Bible preaching, Bible believing, Bible practicing pastor. You don't need the pastor to understand the Bible. If you're born again, you've got the Holy Spirit. He is the teacher. Do you, when you read your Bible, does God teach you things that you never saw before? Does he put it together line upon line and precept upon precept, and you go, wow, I never saw that before. Oh, that's what that means. That is the Holy Spirit teaching you as you study the scripture. Now, God gifts the New Testament church with pastors to lead and to preach and to teach. But it isn't like the only place you can learn is on Sunday and on Wednesday night. You get in the book and you've got the master teacher. Amen. You've got the Holy Spirit. And I'm not afraid that he's going to teach you something that I don't teach you. I'm not afraid that he's going to teach you something that disagrees. Because if I'm a Bible preacher, it's going to be right in line. And he's going to help you along the way. So he enlightens us along the way. The Bible, I'm stupid, but I used to be stupider. Before I got in the Word of God, truthfully, you know what? This just occurred to me. It's not like it has occurred to me for the first time, but it occurs to me often. I stand up and preach the Bible now, or I study for a message, and I'm thinking, man, I didn't know anything 10 years ago. Man, I knew so little 25 years ago. It's amazing that God even used me. And the more I study the Bible, no doctrine has changed. I was taught right. I was instructed right. And I was instructed by men of God. But the more I'm in the Bible, the more it substantiates everything that I was ever told. It's amazing how the Word of God is so deep and so rich. I can't comprehend it. The depth of it or the width of it. The love of God is beyond me. The things of God, man, I'm never going to understand them all. I'm going to spend all of eternity growing and getting more and more. The Holy Spirit also energizes us. I got to start wrapping this up. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20. You're already there. Let's look at verse 20 again. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. An unction. You have an unction to function, all right? God is the one that energizes you. God is the one that motivates us. God is the one that puts us on the right path and gives us all the energy. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, but ye shall receive power, dunamis. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. It's the Holy Spirit that energizes the church. If we're going to have a soul harvest this fall, we're going to need God, the Holy Spirit. Not back on the curb somewhere, but up front. If you're going to be a Holy Spirit-filled Christian, you've got to give up. You've got to surrender your plans. You've got to say, God, I surrender. Here I am. You just present God the vessel, and he will empower you in ways that you cannot even begin to imagine. Oh, I want to see that. I've been thinking all week on this message. I can think of only three times in my whole 41 plus years, because I got to include my Bible college years of ministry, or in a setting, a single place, and thank God I can think of three, where hundreds of people came to Christ all at the same time. Man, what a day. What events those were. I remember, and I allude to this, not because I go looking for it, but I just happened to see it one time, an old-time black and white Billy Graham crusade. And when it was in a baseball field, and when he gave the altar call, people ran from the stands across the infield to find Christ. Little old ladies and their Sunday go-to-meeting dresses running across the infield. Now, when I saw that, it was an old film and it wasn't real clear. You know, it's kind of, you know, how those old films are. Man, my heart, I yearn for the power of God. The Holy Spirit is our friend. He ensures us as well. We don't have time to look at it. He exalts Jesus. I already read some of those scriptures. And he gives power. Last verse. John 14, verse 12. Turn over there. John chapter 14 and verse 12. He empowers. Before I read the verse, this is it. It's not Pastor Rader, and it's not you. This, what I'm going to read right now, is how we get to be a church of 1,000.
That's right. Yep.
This, what I'm going to read. It will take the power of God, the Holy Spirit. It's already an amazing, incredible thing what God has done in rural Chippewa County. But God's bigger than this church. And God is bigger than what has happened so far. I hope some of you will get thirsty for the power of God. I hope some of you will get hungry for the presence of God, the Holy Spirit. And man, don't just go to work like you always went to work. Don't just go to school like you always went to school. Don't just be satisfied with just kind of dragging along, bringing up the rear in the work of God. Don't do that. Look what it says here in verse 12. Verily, verily, this is Jesus. I say unto you, he that believeth on me, that's salvation, the works that I do shall he do also. That's pretty big. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to unto my Father. Wasn't too many days after this, and 3,000 people were saved in one day. We call it the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit descended. And the church was born. And throughout church history, there have been great movements of the Holy Spirit. And the only thing limiting the Holy Spirit is you and I. I said, and I don't know how to say this eloquently, so I can't. America today is Sodom and Gomorrah. It is. And the church has profaned much of the work of God. And there's so many people. America must repent. The church must repent. I told you that was the last verse. Would you forgive me if I lied to you for just a moment? I didn't lie. I was mistaken. Go to Ephesians 5 and verse 18. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. This is what we need to close with. And be not drunk with wine. That's a command. Wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. You say, how can I get filled with the Spirit? One thing you need to understand, being baptized into the family of God, that's salvation, that happens just one time. The infilling of the Spirit, that needs to happen over and over and over and over and over again. You say, I was filled in, 1997. Well, that was wonderful. That was good for that day. All right, you got to be filled again and again and again. You say, preacher, how do I get filled? Number one, make room for him. You've got to do a thorough job of repenting. Here's where we fail. Amen. God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for all my sins, but I'm hanging on to this one over here. This is mine. I'm not willing to give that up. I'm not willing to let that go. You've got to come to the place. Here's when it's going to happen. And you'll get soul-winning power. I'm not talking about some sign gift. I'm talking about soul-winning power. You've got to say to God, the Holy Spirit, I give up. I surrender. Everything I have is yours. Everything I possess, I no longer possess. It's yours. Every corner of my heart, it's yours. Now that's a vessel that God the Holy Spirit will fill. He's already there, but he'll fill every corner. And there'll be soul winning power.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.